Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair First Quarter 2014 Financial Results Call on 3rd of June 2014. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or other similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I'll now hand the conference over to Yevgeny Chukov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss our Q1 2014 results. Let me introduce our key speakers. Participating on the line today, we have Mikhail Shamonin, President and CEO of Systemair, Vsevolod Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO, and myself, Yevgeny Chukov, Head of Investor Relations. You can find the presentation for our results on our website at www.systemair.ru. I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his comments.
Thank you, Yevgeny. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss Systemair's first quarter 2014 results. We are pleased to report solid first quarter results with 13.1% revenue growth to 287 billion rubles and a 10.7% increase in OIBDA to 66 billion rubles. Despite macro and ruble weakness in that period, our portfolio of businesses performed remarkably well, reflecting their resilience in current market. Key highlights include operational excellence at MTS, which continued to capture the growth in mobile data demand and delivered increased Russia mobile service revenues and a solid EBITDA margin of 43.1%. At Башнефть, production increased 7.1% year-on-year, helping negate seasonal weakness and deliver good revenue and OIBDA growth. In other parts of the portfolio, Детский мир's excellent 24.9% like-for-like sales resulted in 17.6% and 35.2% year-on-year revenue growth in dollar and ruble terms, respectively. Notably, the chain's SG&A also decreased by 5.4 percentage points to 31.9% of revenue as the management continued to implement its cost efficiency measures. At Медси, patient visits jumped 19% following a successful marketing campaign and resulted in 9.9% year-on-year revenue and 21.1% year-on-year OIBDA growth. The turnaround at SSTL continued in Q1 as the company expanded its revenues and more than halved OIBDA loss to just over 15 million compared to last year. 2014 commenced with a diligent search for new assets, and we're pleased to have announced several new deals in the last few weeks. We were successful in finding a strong strategic partner for Binapharm, where together with Fresenius Kabi, a leading global pharmaceutical player, we created a joint venture composed of Binapharm and Fresenius' Russian assets. In this process, we ceded control for an undisclosed cash consideration and have further opportunities to monetize our equity in coming years. We see plenty of opportunity in the pharmaceutical sector, and this combination will unlock the synergies between Binapharm's new production facilities, and Fresenius extensive product portfolio, which will now be localized. We hope this deal will receive all necessary approvals and close by the end of the year. At the beginning of April, we also announced the acquisition of certain pulp and paper assets from Bank of Moscow by our newly created subsidiary, Les Invest. The group is a vertically integrated forest holding focused on producing paper sacks, sack paper, and plywood. Our rationale for entry was simple. Not only is this group a leader in its market segment, it has plenty of quick turnaround potential, defensiveness in terms of our euro currency exposure, and strong future cash generation ability. The market for paper sacks is expected to grow at mid-single digits globally, and Les Invest is well positioned to increase production and open new export markets. Although the agreed price for now remains confidential, we are confident of its attractiveness compared to peer group multiples. The third transaction announced earlier with our entry into Russia's rapidly growing e-commerce market through the acquisition of a 10.8% stake in Ozon for $75 million. With over 16 million of unique monthly users and 15% of all online buyers in Russia, Ozon is a well-recognized and trusted brand. Russian e-commerce sector significantly lags behind European counterparts. Compared to the UK, for instance, it is five times smaller. Yet, with growing internet penetration, this is expected to change. Moreover, Ozon's online and offline infrastructure offers a mutually beneficial set of opportunities for some of our businesses, be it the extension of delivery footprint for Detsky Mir, contract and mobile sales for MTS, or use of modern banking services through MTS Bank. In parallel to our acquisition, MTS made a similar investment aimed at establishing a more direct relationship with Ozon. A key event post the reporting period was the board's recommendation of a 19.9 billion rubles as dividends for 2013. This payout more than twice exceeds dividends for 2012 and is a result of higher regular dividends and additional contribution from the Rusneft transaction. It supports our promise to grow dividend stream to our shareholders and share profits from large disposals. Looking ahead, Sistema is well placed to take advantage of any market conditions. Our intention to monetize some of our assets through listings remains steadfast, but entirely dependent on market conditions and investor sentiment. The latter has deteriorated for many reasons, but on the flip side, does present unique investment opportunities. Much of our track record was built on such opportunistic times, and with abundant cash resources at hand, we plan to pursue further attractive deals if they arise. Before I hand over the call to Sevalod for comments on our financials, I want to clarify today's news reports which speculated that Sistema or MTS Bank is considering acquiring banking assets. We have no such plans. Our strategy with regards to MTS Bank remains the same as we announced before. It is focused on organic growth and development of the joint venture with MTS, which provides us with a strong retail platform. Thus, no M&A plans are currently being envisaged. With this, I turn the call over to Sevalod.
Thank you, Mikhail. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start with the overall group results. Along with the traditional seasonality factor, the group's performance in the first quarter of 2014 was impacted by the 9% drop in the ruble-dollar exchange rate during the reporting period. A year-on-year US dollar appreciation versus Russian ruble amounted to 15% and resulted in a decrease in the group's results presented in US dollars compared to the first quarter of the year 2013. With the currency effect left aside, discussion of our results in ruble terms will give you a better understanding of the group's operational performance. In the reporting quarter, in ruble terms, we generated 13.1% year-on-year increase in consolidated revenues and OIBDA growth of 10.7%. This revenue growth was mainly driven by increasing volumes of oil production and refining at Bashneft, the development of MTS's data services, and the rapid expansion of Detsky Mir. A contribution also came from Bashkirian Power Grid Company following increased electricity consumption and from revenue growth at NetC. Growth in the group's OIBDA can also be attributed to substantial contributions from MTS and Bashneft, with reduced losses at SSTL, as well as improved margins at Detski Mir and NetC also contributing. The group's SG&A went 8.2% down year-on-year in dollar terms, while in rubles they grew by 5% year-on-year due to the growth in MTS's commercial budgets, marketing expenses on Detski Mir, and non-cash motivation program accruals in the corporate center. Consolidated SG&A dropped 22.3% quarter-on-quarter in dollar term, with a reduction of corresponding expenses throughout the group. Group capex decreased by 3.8% year-on-year to $655 million in the first quarter. However, in ruble terms, it was up 10.6% year-on-year, mainly due to Bashneft investment program related to development of the Treps and Titov fields. Now let me update you on the group's debt and liquidity position. The recent adjustment of the financial markets inevitably influences most of the Russian businesses, but the group as a whole, as well as the corporate center standalone, feel rather comfortable so far due to some measures taken in the reporting quarter as well as in the previous periods in accordance with the group's financial policies. The group maintains a well-balanced debt currency structure, where the share of ruble-denominated loans amounts to 70% of the total consolidated debt, compared to 67% in the previous quarter. During the last 5 years, we keep the share of dollar debt not higher than 30% of the total debt. At the end of the reporting quarter, we had 27% of consolidated debt denominated in dollars, which is the comfortable ratio for the group. On the corporate center level, the share of ruble debt is 60% versus 40% related to dollar debt. Based on the said above, we consider the group's currency exposure as limited to a relatively comfortable level. As you can see from our presentation, the group's debt maturity structure in the reporting quarter compared to the previous quarter reflects a rise in the share of short-term loans from 19% to 33%. However, this increase was largely due to the 54 billion rubles of the Bashneft loans attracted in the first quarter to finance the Borneftegaz deal and buyback of its own shares in the reorganization process. In May 2014, Bashneft extended 31 billion bank loan term for 2 more years, attracted 20 billion of the new long-term loans, and repaid 30 billion of short-term debt ahead of schedule. These measures resulted in the corresponding decrease in the group's short-term debt, driving its share back to the much less challenging level. Our cash position at the corporate level reached $1.2 billion at the end of the reporting quarter. We expect our cash position to be further strengthened through a dividend inflow from subsidiaries of approximately $1.4 billion, subject to the company's AGM approvals. This liquidity cushion allows us to feel comfortable about planned dividend payments to the Sistema shareholders, as well as $592 million of debt repayment in the second part of 2014. 75% of the rest of the corporate debt is to be repaid in 2016 and afterwards. Overall, we believe we are well positioned to continue delivering on our objectives in the current market situation. You can find more information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results, and individual company breakdowns in more details in our presentation and press release published on our website. I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call over to Evgeny.
Thank you, Psevolod. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star 2. There will be a short pause while participants register for questions. We'll now move to our first question from Ivan Kim from VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, please. Firstly, on Indian operations. So with the elections now behind, what is the current status of market consolidation? Also, what is the status of your shareholding increase there? And isn't the Russian government against the conversion of preferred shares into common shares? And then secondly, on Bashneft, have Bashneft SPO plans been shelved? What would cause you to reconsider those plans again? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Let me answer the Bashneft question, and Vsevolod Rozanov will take up the Indian question. On Bashneft, our plans have never been shelved on IPO. I mean, we are IPO ready in terms of state of the business and our kind of willingness to do it. We obviously are looking at the market trends and the interest for such placements, and you know, as you know, markets today are very different from what they were, let's say, 2 weeks ago, even. And if it continues like that, I do not exclude that we will go ahead and do it as we originally considered sometime in the fall of this year. And on India, so.
Thank you, Mikhail. As for Indian operations, of course, the elections are over and the new government and the new minister is appointed. However, it's I think it's too early to expect immediate consolidation activities. We expect that indeed consolidation will efforts will increase and consolidation will start happening in the next two, three quarters. If we speak of the practical deals, so far we are not aware about any consolidation activity. As for the shareholding increase, we are proceeding as per our plan. We filed our papers to Foreign Investment Promotion Board, so-called FIPB, for approval of the increase of our shareholding. One of the, I believe at the one of, if not the first meeting of the FIPB under the new Minister of Finance should happen quite soon. Hopefully this issue will be taken forward by the FIPB. In parallel, we scheduled our meeting, shareholder meeting for end of June to approve the, to approve the, this step among our shareholders. So at this stage everything is as per plan. Speaking about Russian government position, it's probably too early to discuss the official position, but so far we haven't heard anything which can negatively affect negatively affect our plans. Just for understanding, for your understanding, we do not mean that we bring new equity into the SSTL charter capital. We rather converting already issued preferred shares into the charter capital to proper reflect the share of investments of each party in this in the capital of the SSTL. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question, which comes from Alex Kazbegi from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Can I ask about on the debt side? I mean, you have now quite a lot of, half of the debt is basically a short term. And I think you mentioned that the debt profile, not profile, but the debt generally will stay overall on the same level probably towards the end of the year. Do you plan to replace the short term with the long term maturities, or you stay with the short term? And also you have a 40% in foreign currency now. Do you plan more of the ruble debt, or what is going to be the split, if I may? Second question, just to maybe give us a bit of a color on certain other assets which haven't been really, so to say, mentioned, the SG Trans or UPC. What's going on there? What should we expect over the next 3 to 6 months? Do we see anything, so to say, being disclosed? How are you progressing? What is the strategy there? Anything you could share with us would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Let me start with a debt question. Indeed, at the end of the quarter one, the share of short-term debt has increased. However, already in May, we significantly leveled this position, and we now believe that we are back to normal situation. The reason for increase, I tried to outline in my speech, we had to increase the debt level to fund the Burneftgaz deal, the Bashneft acquisition by Bashneft, and also to fund the share buyback also on the Bashneft level. At this stage, all the debt which was raised during the tax exercise moved into the 3+ year terms, and the repayments in 2015 are already back to normal. Speaking about the share of the dollar versus ruble debt, the 40% dollar debt on the corporate center seems to be normal for us. Going forward, we do not plan to increase the debt in the corporate center unless we will require to fund any particular deal, and that the debt which we will raise for the deal would be reflecting the business model. So unlikely it will be dollar debt in the nutshell. Most likely it will be ruble debt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
First question.
Thank you.
On UPC Energy Trans, basically both companies are developing according to plan. Both will have positive OBD this year. UPC is, well, I guess we're not giving guidance, but there won't be dramatic changes compared to last year. Also, Energy Trans, we expect moderate growth. I guess if there are any particular if there is any particular information you're interested in, we'd be happy to share it.
If I may add one word. Yes, we will start disclosing results of SG Trans starting from next quarter, and you will have more detailed information on SG Trans, and both companies are in the list of the companies which we expect to start paying dividends to us this year.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Olga Bystrova from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. you mentioned Bashneft, sort of updated us on Bashneft on a potential monetization event and thinking there. Can you maybe talk a little bit more about Detskimir, which is another asset that you mentioned previously was ready for sale either in the market or as a private placement? What is the status there? Do you think it's realistic that it could happen this year or more likely going into next year already? Also, you mentioned, sort of on the same topic, you mentioned Binafarm could be one of the assets with an equity opportunity. Can you also talk a little bit how and what is the magnitude we could expect of that monetization event, if at all? And also, what other assets you think could be ready for sale this year? There was some news report on SG Trans, and potentially, I guess, real estate projects could be coming through, etc. So if you could update us on that, would be great. And on the other side, you have done quite a lot of M&A. Have mentioned that this current sort of market sentiment provides quite potentially interesting opportunities. Can you maybe share with us where those opportunities could lie, which sectors? Are you seriously looking at certain assets already to the extent you can obviously elaborate at the moment? Thank you very much.
On Bashneft and MTS, on Bashneft and Detskimir, both IPOs continue to be on the agenda, and the situation in the markets are changing so quickly that it's very difficult to give any prognosis. But again, we're not taking it off. We have, you know, all the resolve necessary to continue to go through them. But we want to make good IPOs. We don't want to just, you know, make an IPO for the sake of making an IPO. So if the question is, could it potentially happen this year? Yes, it could potentially happen. When exactly will we make a decision? I guess, you know, we're talking about autumn now. So, you know, during summer, the decision will be taken whether to go ahead or not, depending on how the markets behave. In terms of other assets ready for sale this year, no particular plans. Bina Farm is something that we have more or less done already. We're just waiting for some final clearances and confirmation from certain government bodies that need to support the permission for this deal. Overall, the idea is very simple. We have a production facility, but we don't have a set of products which could be manufactured, and we don't want to invest our funds in developing a new product line because this is too timely and too costly. So we are taking the product portfolio of Fresenius, and we will implement and start production at Bina Farm. Both parties benefit. Fresenius will basically run operation, and we will continue to be a financial partner and administrative support partner. We have a very attractive deal structure and a clear path to monetization of our share. One small asset which is currently being sold, we're basically finalizing the negotiations, is SG Trading. A part of SG Trans, non-core asset that we promised we would sell, and we're basically continuing with this promise. As far as new M&A opportunities, I mean, we are obviously looking at different sectors. We always consider various deals, but it's very difficult to comment because every time, you know, like information on the bank M&A that came out into the press today. I mean, this is basically a result of some analysts from the portfolio talking to some consultants about possibilities that exist in the market, and you know, the press turns this into some sort of a negotiation which we never even had, and of course, you know, don't have this in our strategy, and it's not a decision which was taken in any way, shape, or form. So that's why we don't want to comment on potential deals. Simply because we cannot assess probability of them happening, and we cannot even kind of assess how strategic some of the deals may become that we are looking at today. So no comments on further M&A, but I can assure you that the work is underway, and we are constantly looking on things.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Paulina Ogunova of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking questions. My question would relate on dividend and how we think on your future dividend decisions. You have increased the dividend payment significantly this year. At the same time, you have mentioned a few times that you want to stick to a progressive dividend policy, suggesting that next year you will pay more compared to the previous year. So my question is, how should we look at next year dividend payment? To what base should we compare? Maybe if it would be more clear if you could determine precisely what part of this year dividend related to the Rosneft transaction, if possible. Thank you.
Roughly it's 150 million, which we contribute to Rosneft. And yes, we do plan to continue with the progressive dividend story, and you know, we hope we'll have the market and economic conditions favorable, so we can deliver on our promise. But so far, we have no reasons to believe that we will not be able to deliver on our promise of a progressive dividend.
Great, thank you very much. And my follow-up question, I'm sorry, I just dialed in a bit late. Maybe you've already made these comments about this press articles today suggesting that you might look in at acquiring some bank. If I missed anything, so can you please just repeat your comments on this? What are your plans? Are you considering any acquisition or not?
It's not true. It's just a rumor. It has nothing to do with reality. Some analysts asking questions around in the market and talking to some consultants and press turning it into some sort of a strategic story, which it is not.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now move to our next question from Alexander Vengranovich of Otkrite Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Actually, my question relates to RCI and how it develops. So obviously, after your acquisition of Envision, looks like something went wrong and the whole asset is not performing probably in line with expectations. Can you like share your view on whether this was like driven by the external factors or you had some problems internally? And what is the plan for improvement regarding this asset? Thank you.
Yes, I think we should separate RTI and Envision because those are essentially two different businesses. RTI as a business itself, defense part of RTI is performing quite well. This year, EBITDA of RTI will be around $150 million, maybe more. So it's a healthy, well-performing business with the contract base signed up until 2025, and we see no issues with RTI as a business. We think it will deliver a continuous and steady cash flow and has a number of opportunities for further expansion and development. As far as Envision is concerned, yes, this business had a number of problems in 2013, mainly related to restructuring inside of Rostelecom, because Envision as a business when we bought it had a large portion of contracts inside Rostelecom, and the assumption on the acquisition of this business was that those contracts will continue into the future. They did not, and of course that hurt the profitability of Envision to a large extent. What we have done, we have combined now the business of Envision and the business of Citronis Casu, which is another small daughter company which was dealing with systems integration, in particular the transportation, smart city, and intellectual transport network type of projects. It had a fairly large contract with the Moscow city government to install a network of smart traffic lights, traffic cameras, et cetera, et cetera. So we combined the two, and we think we will restore the profitability of the combined asset this year. There's clearly a plan to do that. The foundation for Envision business lies in telecom and energy clients. Rostelecom continues to be a client, as well as MTS and some other telecom companies, including some names outside of Sistema, even some competitor to Sistema names. So it's not an insider Sistema story, but it is undergoing a certain restructuring. It continues to be one of the largest systems integrators in the market, and we are determined to make it a leader in the market. It does have an intellectual component inside. The billing system of MTS is inside this company. This billing system has potential to be sold to other players in the market outside of MTS. So basically, it's a turnaround transition type of case, which has had its bad times, but we are hoping it's over now.
Yes. Do I understand it correctly that we should not expect any major revenue improvements this year?
Revenue this year of Envision combined will be around 30 billion rubles. That's what we expect.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, you can press star 1. Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for our conference call to discuss our results, and have a very good day. Take care.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.